Welcome to Fold in the Cheese, the recipe for fantasy football success. We are your hosts, two average dudes, watched a lot of football, played a lot of fantasy football, and our wives told us to get real jobs.
And we said pass. We would much rather talk about football instead, so here we are. This is a podcast for those who are just starting in the fantasy football. We want to bring some knowledge to help you get started. We'll be here along with you on the whole journey throughout the season, checking in with players and seeing who we should sit, who we should start, all that fun stuff. And for those who are a little more advanced, don't worry, we got some stuff for you too.
Yeah, so if you're a casual fantasy player and you're tired of not winning, we're going to change that for you. If you never played before and you feel like, hey, I think I'd like to play this and I think I'd like to win my first time through, we're here for you too. Let's make this happen. Get some W's.
Let's get it.
Welcome back to Folding the Cheese. K-Troll on the mic here. Stoked to be back today. We're going to cover some NFL recaps from the week one action. We've got a list of waiver targets for you as waivers are going to be processing probably tonight. And then E and I are going to cover our Yahoo League recaps as well. Joined as always by my co-host today, I've got Brick Tamlin. The Brick Tamlin to my champ kind on the other side. What's going on, E?
Oh, you know, just looking at the weather, seeing how we're doing here today. And maybe
how's
have
in
a
the
pants
Middle
party
East
later.
Yeah, how are things in the Middle East today?
hot. Hot.
It's going to be hot. All right. All right. He's going to love on some lamp over there. We're going to cover top stories from the weekend. We're going to talk about some guys who really balled out this week. Get to some guys who completely disappeared unexpectedly. And some guys to look for in the waiver wire. And then, like I said, we'll get to that recap of the Yahoo League. Ethan's going to try and postpone that recap as long as he can. Maybe cut it out of the back. We'll see.
Oh, look at the time. Look at the time.
Yeah, shouldn't have given him the editing capabilities. let's start with some overall headlines here. I thought NFL kicked things off the right way on Thursday night. What a shootout. What a game. Dallas and Tampa Bay looked like a legit playoff game.
And honestly, you talk about a way to kick off the season. I think they said it was the highest rated game since, I don't know, it was up there with the Super Bowl with ratings, and especially for a week one premier game. It played like a Super Bowl, even though that would be an impossible matchup. It played like it was a playoff atmosphere. It was amazing.
Yeah, I thought that was everything the hype lived up to. An incredible game, back and forth the whole time, studs all over the field. Let's get through a couple of those studs specifically. Amari Cooper went off. That dude, 13 catches, 139 yards, two touchdowns, wide receiver one for the week, 40 points in PPR. I mean, just went nuts. He was all over the place.
I mean, he was literally Dak's safety valve. Anytime it looked like he was scrambling or needed a quick outlet, Amari was there. It was unbelievable to see how many catches he got just coming to the sideline, but and you know he's going to make those tiptoe catches anyway.
Yeah, he's got ridiculous footwork for sure. Godwin and CD, our little season-long bet.
Our matchup.
I mean, look out. They were nearly dead even. I mean, they both balled out, and they finished as wide receiver 11 and 12 because there are other guys balling out around the league. I mean, this is a nuts offensive week this week. But slight edge to Godwin, to your credit. He's currently slightly ahead in our season-long rankings. It's a long season, and I think, I mean,
nope,
you're talking
season's called.
Buccaneers have historically, I guess you would have thought, have got a much better defense, and so this is a tougher matchup for CD than it was for Godwin, but Godwin looked great. A lot of mouths to feed in Tampa. Got to worry about that.
Yeah, a lot of mouths to feed in Dallas, too, although with Michael Gallup going down, CD and Amari are going to be even more featured.
Yeah, it's a CD and Amari show, and there's plenty of balls to go around. Dak threw it like 150 times, I think, so... Plenty of balls to go around.
It was good to see Dak coming back off that injury, and I mean, it didn't look like he was hurt at all last year, just from this game, and wow.
He wasn't even tentative. I mean, he was
not
standing in the pocket strong. He was taking contact. He ran the ball a few times. Chris Collinsworth, I mean, he talks to Dak like I talk about CeeDee Lamb. I heard him say, "My goodness, Dak Prescott looks good out there." I mean, he was all over it on the call. So
he was. I'm not a big Zeke fan. You know, went to Ohio State. Anyway, I just haven't been a huge Zeke fan throughout his career. But I'll tell you what, he threw some incredible blocks throughout that game because Tampa would come in and blitz him, you know, to really rattle Dak. And I'll tell you what, Zeke had some great pickup blocks to really stunt it and just give him that extra second to get it off. he didn't run the ball very well, didn't have any room to, much room to operate, but I'll tell you what, he made it up for it in other ways for that offense.
Yeah, I think he knew going into it he wasn't going to get to run the ball that much, and that's just part of the game plan. He's a team player. I saw those same blocks where he was just getting, I mean, he was getting lit up, but he was dishing it out too. And I mean, he loves Dak Prescott, you know, that's his man. That's his best friend. He's willing to just jump right in there and get his head knocked off. And you got to love that about him. He had AB and Gronk both going off as well, which was really cool to see. Those are some of those late round guys that we told you, these could be really good value. They've got the talent. They've been there before. And, you know, Gronk finishes as the number one tight end.
I don't want to talk about Gronk right now. Can we please move on?
I thought you might say that. Number one tight end. I'll just sneak that in there again. And AB finishes as wide receiver 10. Look out. If he's starting to creep back into that AB territory.
And that's your third starting wide receiver. And considering you have Godwin and AB, that's a good little combo.
not a bad combo. Worked out fairly well for me. Dak and Brady. I mean, Brady again. You can't say anything else about the guy. Just rocked out. That's what he does. He's loaded with weapons. He's got the same arm he had 20 years ago. I mean, the guy is just incredible. He's smarter than he was. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to beat him, honestly. But they finished QB5, QB6. I was just stoked. Stoked to see the NFL back and for it to come back in that way.
Great game.
That was fun. Great game. In the AFC, you had another great game. Kansas City-Cleveland looked like another playoff game, and I think both those teams could be playoff bound as well. Pat Mahomes, bad man. That is a bad man. He finishes QB1, 337 yards passing, 3 passing touchdowns, 18 yards on the ground, ran one in as well. Man, he does things that no one else can do right now.
When he is in the game, you can never count the Chiefs out. I mean, the Browns, to their credit, they gave Kansas City everything they could. And Mahomes just found it within himself, and you can't get him out. It just, no matter what, he'll put it in his left hand, he'll close his eyes, he'll do it behind his back. He will get it to the receiver no matter what.
Yeah, he's a Harlem Globetrotter quarterback. I mean, it's just unreal what he can do. They were down, to your point, I mean, they were down double digits a lot of that game. Mm-hmm. Back and forth, you know, just they'd get a touchdown, Cleveland would score again, they're down 10, they're down 12. But they, I mean, like you said, they're never really out of it. You know, they're never really out of it.
Well, think about it. Think about it, the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. In those playoff games, they were down to the Texans in the first round, what, 24 to nothing? And then the second round, they were down, I think, four, at double digits as well. But they can just, you know, it's also great coaching. Gotta love Andy Reid, what he can do with his team. But, I mean, Pat Mahomes, as you said, bad man.
Bad man. Kelce finishes as the tight end 4 for the week, to no one's surprise. 6 for 76 and 2 touchdowns. Might even be a modest week for him, which is just
kind of low for him.
It's low yardage output, but 2 touchdowns, definitely what he's capable of. Tyreek does what Tyreek does. I mean, good grief. 11 for 197 and a touchdown. Yikes.
I don't even know how that's still possible. Like, you think someone would figure out how to cover him by now. He's not big. I mean, he is speedy, but man, 197, 11 catches.
He's so shifty. They run the most unique routes. Like, he can, the thing is, because he's so fast, he can do triple moves and still be in the same spot where you would normally expect a guy who's running just a post route. You know, like, he'll end up in the middle of the field right where a post would go, but he's juked 3 times to get there because he's so fast. And so I guess that's why he's always open, you know?
I guess.
He's just ridiculous. But yeah, you're talking about 18 yards per catch there. I mean, that's wild. That's wild to have that many catches and that many yards. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And Nick Chubb does what Nick Chubb does, man. I didn't talk him up enough in the preseason. Didn't think I really had to. He's a top 10 back. And I think everybody gives him that respect, but I still think he's like the most underrated running back in the league. When he's on the field, he scores touchdowns, he gets long runs, and gets no notoriety at all.
It's because he's not flashy. You know, again, even on the Browns team, you hear of an Odell Beckham Jr., you hear Baker Mayfield's always in the headlines as well. So Nick Chubb doesn't get as much press, but you're right. He just comes to work, does what he needs to do, gets you 80 to 100 yards a game, 1 to 2 touchdowns, a couple catches. He's not really much of a receiving back, but he's consistent. I had him a couple years ago, loved him, got hurt. That was the only thing that was his downside, but he's just, you know what you're going to get from him, and it's always going to be solid. As you said, underrated, and he'll always be a top 5 to 10 running back.
He scores pretty much every game. I mean, he's And he's kind of like Marshawn Lynch used to be. He's kind of like that year LeGarrette Blount was with the Patriots. Like, you're going to get a touchdown out of him. He's money in the bank. What I find funny, and this is just kind of a silly anecdote, Yahoo gives updates on nearly every player after the game. Just like, hey, Tyler Boyd had 3 catches for 32 yards. It's an update. There's no update on Nick Chubb after this game. he had 15 rushes, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 catches, 18 yards. He finishes RB6. Literally no update. There's nothing. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, Nick Chubb's still there. That's right. And you're like, dude, he's a top 10 running back. I mean,
right.
This is incredible.
Well, because look at the game. You got Mahomes, you got Hill, you got Kelsey. I mean, that's why he's like, oh yeah, Nick Chubb played too.
That's true. I guess that's true. But dude, if you drafted Nick Chubb, congratulations. He's going to be a rock solid stud for you all year long. And forget what people say. You just ride that all the way to the championship.
You just ride those stats. No kidding. You probably got him at the end of your first round. Heck, might have even the top of the second round. But wherever you got him, well played.
Yeah, you're happy right now. We had a great interdivisional game between the Vikings and the Bengals as well. Started out really slow. This was scoreless after, I think, the first quarter. And I had that over-under bet on 47.5. And I was thinking, ooh, not sure how I feel about this one. Not good. Ended up putting up some points. Went to overtime. That was fun to watch. And we'll talk more about that in the sportsbook section.
I mean,
in the next
episode. It went to overtime to the wire in overtime. Overtime.
Last
the
second
end
field goal
of overtime.
Well, and it was a 52-yard field goal at the end of regulation to get there. So it was dramatic there. And then they both traded some possessions in overtime. And this was a long game, I guess, right? But I think Ja'Marr Chase looked awesome. I mean, all the concerns about I can't see the stripes anymore on the football and you can't catch the ball or whatever.
It's too big.
I don't know if that was like redirection. I don't know what that was, but he came out and looked great. He had 5 for 101 and a touchdown. Mixon went off. There you go. Your boy Joe Mixon doing what he does, right?
You, and look what happens when I quit you.
127 yards on the ground for a touchdown. 4 receptions, 23 yards. This is a true workhorse back. And he looked great. RB2 for the week. There you go, man. I think what I found interesting, I think a lot of people were excited to watch, is Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. How's that going to break down? Mm-hmm. Last year, Jefferson was the 2. Thielen was the 1. And Thielen got those 14 touchdowns, and Jefferson lit it up because people thought he's getting the number 2 coverage on defense. This year, Jefferson is the presumed 1. Thielen's the 2. Thielen goes off 9 for 92 and 2 touchdowns. And people are thinking he's done, or he's older now, or the touchdowns were a fluke. I don't know, man. Balled out.
I mean, Thielen just thrives whenever he has another top option with him. When him and Stephon Diggs were there, I know they didn't really get along that well, but the results were there. They both had enough to go around. Now the fact that this year Thielen's going to be getting the second coverage guy, that's going to be huge for him. They had to get Justin Jefferson involved in a little different ways yesterday. You saw he had a pass for 11 yards. There you go. Adding up the stats in other ways. So, that's going to be a fun combo to watch. Kirk Cousins, a very serviceable quarterback, very, relatively consistent, can get it there. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because it's really picking your poison is who you're going to put your number one guy on, whether it be Thielen or Jefferson.
Yeah, those are the teams that are toughest to guard, to your point. I mean, you just don't know. You can't shadow somebody because the other guy's just going to tear it up. So they're going to be trouble for people as well. I thought Dalvin looked pretty good. You know, he wasn't like absolutely lighting on fire, but he looked good.
Dalvin did Dalvin things, especially when he's on my team. He did, as you said, he didn't really light it up, but he did workmanlike things. He got 60 yards. He got a touchdown. So yeah, very workmanlike. Again, wasn't really lighting it up. His longest run was 17 yards. Got it with 20 carries. You know what? I'll take it. That was around 20 points for the week. So good effort from Dalvin. I'll take it any day. And let's go up from there. How about that? Let's go up from there, Dalvin.
Yeah. I mean, this could be a floor for him, really, honestly. That's kind of like an average. You know, you're not going to get too much worse unless you just got a terrible matchup. But he can definitely do more. So if you're at 20 points and you've got room to go up, I'd say you're in really good shape. Found it really interesting. I mean, Houston came out and absolutely stomped the Jaguars. They came out and I think that one was at 24-0 maybe in the beginning. I mean, they came out on fire, chip on their shoulder. This just shows you every guy in the NFL can play. And on any given Sunday, any team can come out and win. And if you absolutely wrote off the Texans this year because of the whole Deshaun Watson drama,
which
I
most
understand.
People did.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, I do get it, but I did say Tyrod Taylor is a serviceable quarterback. He is not a bad quarterback.
And I mean, you look at his career when he was Yes, I mean, if you look at his time in Buffalo, he had three solid years there. He'll find the open man. He'll air it out when he needs to, and it's not going to be flashy. It's not going to be necessarily textbook, but he can get you some wins. So it's good to see him in Houston with all the stuff they had to deal with in the offseason. And I think a lot of people were kind of talking up the Jags. I know I kind of was a little bit, kind of had a lot of mini expectations for them, you know, the new coach, new atmosphere, obviously Trevor Lawrence in there. And not to be, and being honest, they're a little disappointing. What do you think?
Yeah, they were disappointing, especially in the beginning. They got curb stomped. I don't know if it was just garbage time that Trevor kind of turned it on. He ended up with a really good day, truthfully. 300 plus yards, three touchdowns. The stat line looks good, and garbage time is a thing, as we've talked about. I don't know if maybe he just got settled in a little better second half, but that the beginning there, good grief. And yeah, I think Houston just came out, like I said, chip on their shoulder. They came out with something to prove. Everybody's doubting them, and they said, watch out. Watch what we can do. And you have that kind of mentality with these guys. And a lot of these guys, you know, Philip Lindsay didn't do much in the first half, but that he's the right kind of guy to have a chip on his shoulder. He's undrafted free agent. Everyone's doubted in his whole career. When you give those guys enough motivation, they can play. You give them enough motivation, they'll come out and show you, and they can really rally behind that. So I think that's what happened here. I don't expect them to go 10 wins this season. Don't be crazy, but I do think that they're not going to lose the rest of their games either. I mean, they're going to be right. Tougher than people thought. You got to take them seriously. And I think it's mixed with Jacksonville and a new coach, new quarterback, new systems for everybody on the road. Like, I just think all of that is sort of what you kind of expect, I think, for a team like in those circumstances.
Real quick, you're going to be picking up Mark Ingram?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Mark Ingram. I forgot he's still in the league. Yeah. No, he does not make the waiver wire list this week for me. I do think that backfield has still not shaken out entirely correctly.
It's crowded. Their names, I feel like that could just be week to week. Who's going to be, as you said, Philip Lindsay, David Johnson, who's still alive and still playing, and Mark. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think you could see any of those guys have a decent week any given week, and all three of them have like not usable weeks as well. So the other thing that stood out to me, Chicago, they're going to have to make that move to field sooner than later, man. Andy Dalton is not the answer. I do not want this board bet of Matt Ryan versus Andy Dalton.
Chicago quarterbacks. But you also got David Montgomery in those Bears. So, you know, he did well for you.
Montgomery looked great. I'm ready to see Fields in there. I think that team needs the jolt of energy, because they've got some good weapons on offense. They've got a decent defense, typically. And they need something. I think they're ready, no doubt.
I mean, and they were hanging with the Rams. Rams are going to be a good squad this year, and they were hanging with them even with the ineptitude they had on offense at the quarterback position. So, as you said, if they move on from Dalton, move to Fields, they could do some things. They could make some noise in that division.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Arizona looked really good. I watched a lot of that game because they were playing the Titans, and Tennessee looked really bad. I don't know if one begat the other, if it was a perfect storm, but my goodness, Tennessee couldn't get plays off in time. They were getting blown up in the line of scrimmage. They looked slow, dropping passes. Arizona, on the other hand, complete opposite. Well-oiled machine. Kyler Murray he went off in that game.
And he killed a guy with a trident.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a man on fire at one point. It was bad. They looked good. Arizona looked good.
They did.
And I'd say even like James Conner and Chase Edmonds both looked good. And James Conner could have some value this year, for real.
They are going to be a true split backfield, so it'll be interesting to watch them as the season goes. But as you said, they both look good, both getting 50, 60 yards on between 12 and 16 carries. So it could just be who has the hot hand, or they just maybe do a little thunder lightning back in the old days of the Giants. Remember Tiki and Ron?
Tiki Barber. Yes, Ron Dane, Tiki Barber. I love Tiki Barber. I got a Tiki Barber jersey I used to rock in college. It was my man.
A fantasy stud for a couple of years.
That's why I got the jersey. He was one of my early fantasy studs in this Yahoo League of ours. And he balled out, man. Dual threat. Yeah, he was killer. Thunder and lightning. And then Brandon Jacobs came in to pick up the thunder.
Double thunder.
Philadelphia also looked really good. Good to see that output from them. They looked like their offense was clicking. Jalen looked great. Devontae Smith looked great. Devontae looks like he belongs in the NFL. That was fun to see. Atlanta looked awful. And that, awful. That's another thing where it's like, I don't know if that's Philadelphia looking that good or Atlanta looking that bad or both. It looked just like the Arizona-Tennessee game. Kind of the same story.
Well, it's interesting too, like Philly and Atlanta coming in, neither were really being much talked about. Obviously, the whole Philadelphia drama moving on from Carson Wentz, and you know, there's question marks on offense, but and then Atlanta, they were just terrible last season and then didn't really make too many changes in the offseason. Obviously added Kyle Pitts to help spark that offense, but losing Julio. So these were two teams kind of coming in with lower expectations anyway. And one was kind of Philadelphia was trying to buck those expectations. So, hey, we can actually be good, where Atlanta's like, nope, we're not going to be very good right now. So they went with it.
Yeah. I think they had no expectation of being great. They haven't tweaked their defense, which was a real problem last year. And yeah, you let go Julio, you get Pitts. Maybe that's one for one, better for your future, certainly. But nah, that's gonna be a no man's land.
Gonna be a long year.
Yeah, gonna be a long year. But not from
what A-town. He's gonna get some garbage time points, and he's gonna lead him over the Chicago quarterbacks.
You know what? Part of me does hope he does, because I've got Calvin Ridley ranked pretty high, and I've got him on a team or two, and he didn't do a whole lot yesterday, and I'm gonna need him to get some more action, even if it's garbage time. I don't care. Just get him the ball. He's your only offensive weapon, really, at this point, you know, until Pitts really proves himself. How about Jameis Winston chucking 5 touchdowns on 148 yards?
Wow.
How about the Saints routing the Packers in Jacksonville? Like, that, what a weird dynamic that whole thing was.
I mean, I was following that game, and I was just like, how is this happening? Like, what in the world? We have the NFL reigning MVP getting outshined by the guy who barely beat out Taysom Hill for the quarterback competition.
Yeah, the guy who's best known for stealing crab legs. I mean, it was...
The crazy part was 5 touchdowns. He only had 20 passes.
I mean, that's got to be... 20
passes.
That's insane.
25% of his throws were for touchdowns. How is this possible?
I wonder how long, if you added up... I mean, at least 4 of those were short-ish touchdowns. One was like a 40-yard, I think. So I would guess that of his 148 passing yards, we need to add this up at some point. It was probably like 60 yards for the touchdowns, something like that. You
probably.
Know? And then he had like 80 yards otherwise.
There was a Kamara within the 10-yard line. Chris Hogan was for 10. Jawan Johnson had a short one. I think the biggest one was Harris. But yeah. I might even go on the under on the 60.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild to have that many touchdowns in that few yards. No doubt some kind of record. Unless that's not, you know what though? Back in the old days, Y.A. Tittle or whoever, like those kinds of guys are probably putting up 7 passing touchdowns and they've never had more than 100 yards.
Y.A. Tittle, so, that is a throwback, a callback. Well played.
Well, that's like when you started fantasy and you were checking the Gazette, Y.A. Tittle was probably one of your stars, wasn't he?
He was on my bench.
He was on your bench. Okay. All right. Fine. That's right. You had Bart Starr. That's right.
Yep.
All right. Did you hear about how that game ended up in Jacksonville, by the way?
Well, it's because of the hurricane, wasn't it?
It was because of the hurricane, but Jacksonville specifically. I didn't know this like at game time, but I'd read about it later. So they initially wanted to go to Dallas, and they had a concert coming up this week, so they couldn't get it turned around in time or something. So they looked into Florida, and all 3 of the stadiums in Florida were open. They didn't want to go to Miami because they said it was too much of a destination and they thought more Green Bay fans would fly down there. And they're like, yeah, well, people are going to want to go to Miami because it's Miami. They didn't want to go to Tampa because they're in the same division as the Saints. And they thought Tampa fans would show up and boo them and cheer for the Packers. So they chose Jacksonville because they're like, no one wants to come to Jacksonville for any other reason. It's not going to draw any out-of-state fans. So it's no advantage. Amazing.
I did not hear this.
Wow. Yeah, it's just wild. And like, there's also some weird stat for Aaron Rodgers, who's like 3-5 in the state of Florida. Something weird where he just doesn't play well in Florida for some reason. So it was kind of a perfect storm. I don't know. I don't know why that matters.
Nice.
I would joke. Pun. I was joking. There you go. Perfect storm. That's true. I was joking with my brother that Rodgers wasn't used to playing outdoor games where you could see the sun. Because I figured every Green Bay is always just like dark and cloudy and snowing and everything. So maybe it threw him off. I don't know. But that was bad. It was really bad. And last thing I wanted to note, I found pretty interesting. I think everybody was wanting to see how those top 10 drafted receivers were going to go, the rookies. And all 3 of them scored a touchdown this week. I thought it was really cool to see. Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Ja'Marr Chase, all looked pro ready. all look like first round picks. I think they're going to be good all year. Really do. I think that's a new thing in the NFL. You can get a rookie receiver. He can ball out immediately.
Yeah, it's going to be fun watching them. And, you know, they're always going to be compared throughout their careers just because they were all drafted in the top 10. So it'll be fun to see them throughout the year and their careers.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, we're going to talk through some guys who balled out this week in each position, and then we'll talk about some guys who disappeared as well. Quarterback, I'd say the usual suspects were at the top of the list, and I'll do this with each position group. In each position group, you're going to mostly top 10, top 15, top 20 guys are going to be the guys you expected. So I'm not going to cover, hey, Pat Mahomes was great. We talked about that, right? Some of the surprises, though, Jared Goff. Is he this year's Blake Bortles?
Jared Goff. He's, you know, he's going to be a poor man's Matt Stafford in Detroit, where, you know, Matt Stafford, see, I live in Michigan now. So many people hated on Matt Stafford, and I never understood why. He's a very solid quarterback. He puts up good numbers, but they always say, oh, well, he puts up good numbers because it's always in garbage time. They're always playing from behind. He has to throw the ball, so of course he's going to get stats. Well, Jared Goff, welcome to Detroit. It's going to happen to you too, my friend.
You have inherited the reins. He finishes as a QB3 this week, by the way. So, I mean, again, if you just close your eyes and don't watch the game for the week and just look at the stat line at the end, you're probably pretty happy. Guy had 338 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, QB3, a lot of garbage time, whatever. You'll take it. As a fantasy player, fantasy manager, it doesn't matter how good the guy is in real life. You want to know what kind of stats he puts up. So keep an eye on Goff. On the other side of that trade, Stafford looked good, very good in L.A. He threw 321 and 3 touchdowns himself, nearly perfect passer rating. Wow. That team, it could be dangerous this year.
He's just happy to be on a team that is actually knows what they're doing. Sorry, Detroit fans. But to be in L.A., to be in a place where it's got a good defense, got tons of weapons, actually might have a somewhat of a running game, even though they did get hurt by injuries. But Matt Stafford could be lethal on this Rams team, so they could be something to watch this year.
He hasn't really ever had a second receiver. So, I mean, Calvin Johnson is better than either Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp, but he's never had another threat. So people just put 4 people on Megatron, and you still can't guard him, but you know he's not going to put up 300 yards on you.
My brother-in-law would highly disagree with you. He considers that Stafford has played with, I want to say, 5 top 10 wide receivers in his career. And you ready for the names? Obviously, you got Calvin. He's putting Marvin Jones up there. He's putting Golden Tate. And he's putting, Nate Burleson. Galladay,
Babytron. Nate Burleson. A great analyst. I do enjoy him on Seager, TV. But
Kyle Seager, very high on the Detroit wide receivers and very low on the Stafford train.
Come on, Kyle. I know you, Kyle. Let's get real, man. Let's get real. I've cheered for bad teams. I get the draw. Let's be real. Tyrod Taylor finishes QB12. We talked about him earlier. 291 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, ran 40 yards as well. Don't forget he's a dual threat. Top 12 guy. I wanted to give him a shout out.
That deserves a shout out. Well played, Tyrod.
In the running back room, Jamal Williams. There's a lot of buzz about the Lions running backs. Here we go, Lions again. But we weren't really sure how it was going to break down between DeAndre Swift, who's a little bit banged up coming into the season. They grabbed Jamal Williams, paid him a lot of money. People are saying they don't pay him that kind of money just to be a backup. He's going to be the passing down back, whatever. These guys had a decent split. They both got a lot of work in the passing game. Jamal looked great. You know, he had 9 rushes of his own for 54 yards. He had a touchdown on the ground. 8 catches for 56 yards. That's like some Theo Riddick stuff from, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Theo.
He's going to have some value, you know?
Well, and once again, especially in Detroit, if you're a catching back, you're going to be playing from behind. You're going to need to catch these passes. That's where Goff's going to hit you. So, I mean, they may be splitting, but it seems like there's going to be enough catches at least to go around.
Yep. DeAndre Swift also, 11 carries for him. So he had more carries on the ground, 39 yards, wasn't quite as effective, but also got 8 catches, 65 yards and a touchdown in the air. These guys are both getting a lot of play. They finished as RB3 and RB4 for the week, both of them.
Wow.
On Detroit. Yeah.
On Detroit, yeah, has not had a 1,000-yard rusher since Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush. That's right. You would have thought, by looking at the box scores here, by looking at these rankings with Goff as QB3 and 2 top 10 running backs, that they just slaughtered it. And not so much. Melvin Gordon looked good. I mean, he had a 70-yard touchdown, so that's going to make anybody look good. But 11 carries, 101 yards, a touchdown, 3 receptions, 18 yards. He's telling people, don't put me away yet. You know, I know Javonte Williams is here, but I'm still here. I'm still going. He's splitting time now. Finishes RB5. Right now, he's still one of the guys to have, for sure. I think all eyes were on that Baltimore backfield. What's going to happen? You lost J.K. Dobbins before the season. You lost Gus Edwards right before the season. Justice Hill gone for the year. Some dude, Tyson Williams, you know, that I think no one knew really going into the season, gets 9 carries for 65 yards and a really nice touchdown run, 35-yard touchdown run. 3 catches for 29 yards as well. Finishes a nice RB9.
You putting a lot of stock in him yet? You putting a lot of stock in him yet?
You know what's weird for me is that Latavius Murray got 10 carries and looked slow and looked like the guy who got cut, but they still gave him 10 carries. And so I don't know. I feel like most of Tyson's work was done in the first half, and then they were ahead, and then they get behind, and all of a sudden Latavius Murray's in there, who's not historically a passing down back. I don't know. Right. I think you're going to see this move more and more towards Tyson Williams. I really do. So I think he's semi-legit, and I'm excited to see what he does next week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch that throughout the year.
And then down in San Francisco, we're on the other end of the curb stomping of the Lions. Elijah Mitchell emerges when Raheem Mostert goes down. Elijah Mitchell comes in, 19 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown. Ran all over the Lions. Mostert, guy, I can't quit.
Who went down? Who went down?
Yeah, that's right. Raheem Mostert, guy I can't quit.
Did he get hurt? Is that what happened?
Yeah. He chipped something in his knee, like some injury I've never even heard of. You know, he's like Danny Amendola. Right. Yeah, he does things that no one else can do. And he's out for, they said, 8 weeks now. So I'm like, great. You know, same story, different year. I don't know why. I don't know who gets the majority of the run next week. Trey Sermon was a really surprising healthy scratch. Yeah, before this game. And we all thought he was going to be the backup. And we thought he actually was going to get 8 to 10 carries in this game. I thought he could be viable. And so they scratched him before the game. I guess he doesn't do anything in the special teams arena. So Elijah Mitchell got all the work. Not sure how it's going to shake out next week. I think it's going to be probably, my guess would be a mix between Trey Sermon and Elijah and some Jermichael Hasty in there as well. Let's move on to the wide receivers. Again, usual suspects perform. DeAndre, your boy, had a great week against my lowly Titans. Debo. How about my boy, Debo?
Wow.
Going off.
What round did you get him in? Ninth, tenth?
Ninth, tenth. Yeah. I think it was actually 10th because I think I got AB in the ninth.
That's, wow.
So Debo goes off for 9 catches, 189 yards, and a touchdown. Shredded that Detroit secondary. And only wide receiver 3 for the week, which is shocking with that kind of a stat line. But like I said earlier, Tyreek and Amari just went ballistic. Debo's looking like the man. There's a weird thing going on in that receiving room. We're going to get to that in a little bit on the guys who disappeared. But Debo is looking rock solid.
He is looking very good. Garoppolo looked good. He's always got Trey Lance breathing down his back, so he had to make some plays. So he and Debo looked really sharp, really sharp.
I was really excited to see that. You weren't sure coming off the injury from last year how Debo was going to look, and also weren't sure how the targets were going to shake out. So really encouraging for me to see that. I like Debo a lot. Tyler Lockett had one of those big weeks. We talked about it.
It was a Lockett week.
We talked about it.
Good
Your boy,
week.
Tyler Lockett. Yeah, he went off. You know, 4 catches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, some long touchdowns. Dangerous. Looking really good. Wide receiver 5. He'll do that for you. And, man, I would love nothing more than to see him do it consistently because I love
That's
him as
thing.
A player.
He's got the talent. Just if he could put it together week in and week out, he would, between him and Russ, that'd be an unstoppable combination. You got DK Metcalf in there too. I mean, come on. If he could just consistently get those numbers. Whew.
Yeah, sky's the limit. Corey Davis looked awesome in New York. Zach Wilson and he have a connection very clearly. 5 catches, 97 yards, 2 touchdowns. I told you, he looked good in Tennessee the last couple of years. He is the guy they drafted him to be. It took him a little while to develop, but he's a strong receiver.
I've been a fan of Corey Davis, especially coming out of college. He was a stud at Western Michigan. And, you know, obviously he did some good things in Tennessee. As you knew him more than I did, being a huge Titans fan. He didn't get to quite nearly the potential he had, but I think he has that big playability. And now, obviously, with Zach Wilson, he's looking for his guy, his safety valve, and it looks like it could be Davis. We mentioned him on the draft and picking your perfect roster. He was a great late round picked up. So if you got him, keep him, because this could be more of things to come.
Yeah, he was on your perfect roster, so I want to give you a shout out there. Great pickup for you, late round pickup. I think he's going to be startable. Honestly, I really think he's a flex play, maybe even wide receiver too. It's early to call something like this, but I think all year long, I don't see any reason he wouldn't. He seems like the go-to, and Zach Wilson can sling it. I think he'll be good. I really do. Yeah. I was surprised and interested to find out what was going to happen in the New York Giants game. Sterling Shepard balled out. And so there's a lot of buzz about Galladay going to New York. He had some injuries going into the season. Weren't sure if he was going to get a full workload there. Sterling Shepard came back, left him for dead last year, and 7 catches, 113 yards and a touchdown. And the guy, when he's healthy, I've always liked him. When he's healthy, he can ball out. Mm-hmm. You got questions about injuries. You got questions about, they got a bunch of names in that room with Darius Slayton, Kadarius Toney, the rookie. You got tight ends. You got Kyle Rudolph there now. Obviously, Saquon, he's healthy.
He also got questions at quarterback. Daniel Jones, I feel like this is his make or break season. So, I mean, that was also kind of a big question if he can put it together to throw it to these guys. But no, Sterling looked good. And with Saquon not being a full Saquon yet, could be even bigger things for him. And Galladay could be taking the number one guy too. As you talk about in Minnesota, whether it be Jalen or Jefferson, if Galladay's going to take number one, Shepard can slide right into that two spot and be a perfect fit for him.
That's true. That does happen too. You see guys that are clearly better players and they just get that shadow coverage or bracket coverage and leave somebody else open, and consistently the other guy gets better stats. It does happen a lot in the NFL. So it could be some of that. I think I like Shepard at Oklahoma. I think he's a great route runner, really solid hands. I've always liked him in that regard, but I don't know who's going to shake out as number one by the end of the year, but so far so good for him. Glad to see him back out there. Shout out to Brandon Cooks. This is a guy I got real late in some drafts. I think he may have gone undrafted in some drafts. He came out a massive late round value, 5 catches, 132 yards. Tyrod is a stable quarterback, and Cooks is far and away his best target. So if he's going to anybody, it's going to Cooks first. Wide receiver 18 this week because so many other guys went off and he didn't score a touchdown. But I think he's going to be playable. Just like Corey Davis, I think he's in that flex wide receiver 2 range. I think he could be solid all year long. He's got the talent. We know that.
I mean, barring injury, Brandon Cooks has always been a top 15, top 20 wide receiver. You know, his time in New Orleans, that one season he had with the Patriots, and then when he went to the Rams, I mean, he was good. He's good.
He's very good. He's fast. He's got good hands. He's tough to manage on defense. So I agree. He could be a real steal for people who went running back heavy early or tight end or grabbed an early quarterback, decided to piece it together at wide receiver late. He could be great. On the tight end side, we talked about Gronk. I'm mentioning him not as one of the usual suspects, because we weren't sure if he was going to show up fat and out of shape or what he's going to look like. And I'm afraid to tell you, he looks a little bit like old Gronk. And that is a dangerous proposition. Juwan Johnson caught a couple of touchdowns in New Orleans. He was a little buzzy. There was Adam Trautman injury stuff going on. We weren't sure if Juwan was going to step up. He's an athletic dude. He looked good. He made one catch that was really nice, falling away in the end zone. He's wide open, but he had to dive backwards for it. Nice catch. Only 3 catches, only 21 yards. But again, Jameis only had 148 yards. So
just I'd one be quick,
to see what the volume looks like.
One quick note on Juwan Johnson. He also was at Penn State a wide receiver when I was there, and he is a big physical specimen. That stat line of 3 catches, 21 yards, is 2 touchdowns is his MO. He's boom or bust in that sense, and that he'll either get you, as you said, about 50 yards and a touchdown, or he'll get you one target and a drop. But he has that big play capability. He can get you. He's a big guy, so he'll be interesting. He'll be interesting to watch in New Orleans.
Gotta love that insider info. And then, love this name, James Oshak Hennessy, James O'Shaughnessy of the Jaguars. you weren't sure who the tight end was really going to be down there, and rookie quarterbacks tend to love a tight end. It's a good safety valve. So Trevor Lawrence looks at him 8 times, 6 catches, 48 yards. It's not a huge number of yardage there. You know, when you're talking 8 yards a catch, but again, safety valve. These tight ends, they come over the middle. They're kind of unguarded. Maybe a linebacker's on them. And a quarterback is looking through three or four different reads, and he's got to dump it to somebody. He's going to look right in the middle. It's a big target, soft hands, dump it right to your tight end. And he looked pretty solid.
It's all about getting those receptions. Those, each reception's a point. Doesn't matter if it's 8 receptions for 10 yards. That's 8 points right there on the receptions alone. So if you've got a good safety valve, that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, he could be startable, honestly. He'd be worth a look. And I had one of my best friends was my tight end in high school, Rusty. Loved the guy, and he was an incredible blocker, and he was a menace on defense because he played defensive end as well. He was strong. He was fast. The dude could not catch anything. I'm talking, he would be in the field. He'd be wide open down the field. He'd be waving his arms, and it was like you were playing mini golf with the windmill, you know? Like you have to hit it just right to land it right in there. I swear to God, I hit him in the face. I can't tell you how many times. I hit him in the chest. I can't tell you how many times. And, you know, shame on me. You know, his hands were in the wrong spot. He was waving them. They were in the wrong spot when the ball got there.
Shame on me for throwing it to him.
Shame on me for throwing it to him. But it'd be like, he's like, I'm open. I'm like, who else we got? Okay. Well, I could try and run it. Well, I'm going to try and thread the needle here.
I love how you have that much time in the pocket to make all these things. Like, oh, I see him. No. Well, maybe should I? No, I'm going to. No. Okay. I'll go back to Rusty here.
So let me give you a little clarification there. Number one, wasn't in the pocket. I couldn't see over my line, so I couldn't ever throw it from the pocket. I'm always booting out to throw the ball. All right. Number two, it's always off of play action because we ran the ball 97% of the time. So every time I did throw it, the defense had no clue it was coming because they just expected another run. So I'd fake a handoff. They would all collapse on it. I'd roll out and I'm standing out there by myself, hanging out, looking down the field like, who's open here? Every time Rusty, who again, super fast, he's like a track star. He's very fast. He would streak across the field. And I'm like, okay, there he is. Oh wait, that's Rusty. Ooh, I don't know. Again, one of my best friends in the world. Couldn't catch a cold. Really funny. Hey. Not a check down safety net for me. And then the last tight end I'm going to mention here is Pharaoh Brown kind of popped down in Houston, you know, with Terod getting all that yardage. He had 4 catches for 67 yards on 5 targets. Good production. Jordan Akins was a guy last year who was pretty solid for them. He's still there. He only got 2 targets. Just something to watch. I don't know if he's going to become the guy or if it was more of a matchup thing.
Can we officially put you on the Houston Texan bandwagon?
Boy, it sure sounds like it. Well, I'm out on all the running backs and every other receiver. I do like Terod Taylor and Brady Cooks. If that puts me on the bandwagon, there's probably plenty of room, so maybe I could just hang out there for a bit.
You could bring some free drinks. Guests.
Yeah, get some free drinks and pregame there. All right, let's talk about some guys who disappointed this week. This is not so fun. Oh. If you had them on your rosters, you know what I'm talking about. Where the hell did Mike Gesicki go this week? This dude gets 0 catches. 2 targets. He's supposed to be a top 12 guy. He's got all this potential. He was a breakout last year. Ugh, not good. James Robinson, where did he go? I mean, Houston came out and stomped him right out of the gate. But the guy had 5 carries. You know, he got 3 catches, 54 total yards. Okay. You know, it wasn't like he had a total donut. But Carlos Hyde got 9 carries. I mean, I don't like that at all. I had a weird feeling.
That's an Urban Meyer guy. That's an Urban Meyer guy right there.
I know. I saw him live in college one time. I went to a Purdue game against Ohio State. And in college, Carlos Hyde was an absolute monster. And he had like 5 touchdowns or something. Just nuts. So Urban loves the guy for sure. And so when he went out and got him, I was a little bit nervous because even though he's kind of old for running back, Urban wants some guys he's comfortable with. I get that. Thought he might eat into James Robinson's time a little bit, but I didn't think this was going to happen. And I know a lot of it's game script, and they got so far behind. Maybe they were trying to save James Robinson for next week. I don't know. But
Save his leg.
Yeah, it's something to keep your eye on for sure. It gave me the heebie-jeebies a little bit. I'm going to have to call out my own hometown team, Tennessee Titans. Wow. That whole team absolutely stunk. What the hell? Tannehill sucked. The offensive line sucked. Taylor Lewan, who was back from injury, we were so stoked to get him back. He's like all-pro level left tackle. Got absolutely run over by Chandler Jones all game. Credit to him for calling himself out. He knew he got run over. but you'd know it too if Chandler Jones ran you over multiple times, pancaked. Julio's dropping passes. Derrick Henry looked slow. The defense was pretty pathetic. Nothing good to say about him. Woof. Tennessee Titans, woof. Not good.
And that's coming from a Tennessee homer, too. And that's...
Yeah.
Yikes.
Not good. Not good. But you know what? You're going to get to those, too. Matt Ryan, 164 passing yards. Ethan, wow. When you're getting blown out, 164 yards?
You know, we're just going to talk load management again. He's just... He's an older guy, man. He's just got to... He's taking... He took this week off. He's just... getting ready for our matchups on the big board. So he's just getting himself ready.
Yo, Jared Goff went off for 300 plus yards and three touchdowns. And Matt Ryan can't do that when he's getting blown out? Come on, man. The team looked pretty rough, I gotta just say it. I don't know. Maybe they'll bounce back. Maybe they'll look better. I don't know. How about Brandon Ayuk? Okay, this one's really interesting. So a lot of people had him as like a top 15 receiver this year. They thought he's a total stud. He's going to break out. He broke out some at the end of last year. I heard a report. He needs to learn how to be a pro. There's some news about like the guy needs to learn how to be a pro still or something. I'm like, what? After the way he finished last season, like what happened? So I don't know what's going on there, but it's weird. He got benched in favor of Trent Sherfield. And I don't think anybody saw this coming. I think a lot of people counted on him to be their wide receiver one, at least wide receiver two. And he got an absolute donut. I mean, he did nothing. And nothing. That is shocking. I mean, that was really shocking.
Nothing in a game where the 49ers scored 41 points, too.
Yeah. So that's very and Debo concerning. Gets not 200 even, yards on the touchdown.
Not even getting garbage time. Like, okay, you didn't start, or let's just put you at the end to show you whatever. But, yeah, that's going to be a big question mark.
I don't know if that's punishment. I don't know if that's sending a message. But I got to watch that a little closely this year. He could still rebound. He could still prove himself, quote unquote, you know, in practice or show up to workouts early or something. I don't know what it is when it's, you need to learn to be a professional. Maybe he's not take care of his body. I don't know, but, he could come back, but that is very discouraging. Courtland Sutton, really hope for more out of him this first week. I'm definitely not out on him, but one catch for 14 yards, not what you hoped for. I have concerns that there are too many mouths to feed in this offense. I know Bridgewater has fed three receivers before, but they've got Judy and Fant, who both had pretty solid games. And the difference here is when Bridgewater was feeding those guys in Carolina, it was when McCaffrey was hurt. And so he didn't have to feed McCaffrey as well. Denver definitely wants to rely on the running game. They've got two good running backs. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to be able to get all three of them in any given game. It may rotate around.
But one thing is that, you know, with Judy's injury, he's going to be out, I think they said, 4 to 6 weeks. So at least that takes one mouth to feed out. You know, Courtland Sutton, again, he's still coming back off that injury. I wouldn't count him off yet, especially now with Judy going down. He'll get some more looks. And Bridgewater's still new. You know, he's new to Denver. He's still getting acquainted with everybody. So that's still going to be a work in progress. Courtland Sutton does have a high ceiling, but clearly he has a low floor. He's
the number one with Judy out for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's number one with Judy out for sure. Tim Patrick got more looks than I really wanted to see there too. But yeah, I do believe in Courtland Sutton. And maybe some of this is also kicking off the rust a little bit after being out for a year. I think he'll be fine, but I'm not sure you can be totally comfortable starting him even next week with Judy out. Probably want to see it one week before
you gotta him back in give the him a little more time to give him a little more time to earn that start. He's worth holding on to for sure, but not starting yet.
Yeah. All right, let's jump to some waiver targets this week. So this is your first week of waivers. And if you haven't played before, waivers are probably going to run tonight, overnight, 2 or 3 in the morning probably. And you're going to put in some claims for guys that you would love to see on your team. You've probably seen there's a waiver order in your league. We talked about this some in the preseason shows. But you're going to probably want to need to put in multiple waiver claims in order to get one of the guys that you want. You're not just going to get the first guy you put your claim in for. So if you had a Ryan Fitzpatrick and was really bummed to see that injury. If he was your only quarterback, probably not a great idea. But if you went that route, if you're a Washington homer or you thought he's going to have a monster year, I don't know. Or if your backup is Justin Fields, he's not yet a starter, for instance. I'd probably go out there and try and get Jared Goff or Tyrod Taylor if Trevor Lawrence is still out there. I'd look at one of those guys on the waiver this week, put in a claim. You could drop Fitzpatrick probably. I think he'll be fine to sit out. He could be out for... I think up to 6 to 8 weeks. So I'd go ahead and drop him.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick is your QB1, we have bigger issues. But yes, go after Goff or Taylor.
It's true. I have heard of it, though. I mean, I've heard of people who waited just too long to hit one of those last 10 to 12 guys, and they're like, oh, crap, I ended up with it may be like Kirk Cousins or something, but I had Fitzpatrick rated around Kirk Cousins. And so if you ended up with Fitzpatrick instead of Cousins, now you're really scrambling. So I go out and get one of those guys. Running back, if Tyson Williams is still available in your league, I think you got to go get him. I think he's going to be the guy in Baltimore. The more Latavius Murray gets run, the more they're going to realize he can't run anymore. And so I think Tyson's going to be your guy. Elijah Mitchell in San Francisco. Keep an eye on what happens with Trey Sermon and Elijah Mitchell here. But I think he's somebody to keep an eye on too. Probably worth putting in a waiver wire, especially if you had Mostert. And Nyheim Hines, who is sort of that new wave James White. He's catching a lot of passes. He gets some work on the ground as well. 6 for 48 in the passing game. It's probably a solid floor for him. He'd be worth a pickup too. On the receiving side, again, Sterling Shepard. He's only 30% owned in ESPN leagues. Could be the true number one this year in New York, and he can shoot. He's shown he can produce when he's healthy. I think he's somebody you should definitely put in a claim for. Christian Kirk looked great against the Titans, 5 for 70 and 2 touchdowns. Rondale Moore got some touches in there too. Could be another waiver claim potentially. We're not sure who the number two is going to be in Arizona, but Kirk finally looks pretty good. And he's done this in the past where he looks good, then he looks bad, he looks good, looks bad. He's somebody worth stashing. Ethan, I think, has owned some Christian Kirk in the past as well.
For a bench guy, Christian Kirk is those boomer busts. And he's always going to be the guy who's on your bench when he gets these lineups. And then when you finally put him in, he'll get you 3 catches for 20 yards. But anyway, Christian Kirk, worth a look. Worth a look.
Worth a look. Indianapolis, Zach Pascal had a good week. 4 catches, 43 yards, 2 touchdowns. Again, we're not sure who the number one's going to be there. I thought it would be Michael Pittman. I still think it will be long term. I'm holding out hope for that. But Pascal was there for him underneath, and he was there in the end zone. Somebody to keep an eye on if you need that depth. And you've got someone you can drop out of your bench. If you have a low waiver claim and you want to wait until waivers process, if no one gets him, pick him up on free agents. He's somebody to keep an eye on too. And then Nelson Agholor looked really good. Good chemistry with Mac Jones. Another team, we weren't sure who the number one was going to be. Maybe it's Jacoby Myers. Maybe it's Agholor. Aguilar's got the pedigree coming out of USC. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who's got probably the most potential. He was a top 2-round pick.
Well, he's got the most experience on that Patriots wide receiving core too. I mean, theirs is... It's quite the lineup of wide receivers, and Aguilar's got the most experience, which doesn't say much, but as you said, he's got a good repertoire with Mac already, and between him and Jacoby, it's going to see who's going to be that wide receiver one.
Yeah, I think Aguilar could end up being in that same Corey Davis conversation we were talking about. Brandon Cooks could be another guy like that, wide receiver two or flex. Definitely worth a waiver claim if you need some help in that area. On the tight end side, we talked about these guys already. Oshak Hennessy, James O'Shaughnessy, Juwan Johnson, Pharaoh Brown. If you need tight end help, those are guys to consider. I got some trouble putting a waiver claim for a tight end and losing your spot in the waivers. But again, if you need the help, if you had Gesicki and you're really nervous, maybe look at O'Shaughnessy. Let's do a quick recap of the Yahoo League. E, got time for that?
I guess we got some time.
Trying to run out on me. All right, so we told you our lineups in the last episode, and it will surprise no one to know that I absolutely demolished the competition. High score of the week, largest margin of defeat. Had to put a hurting on my friend Andy. Sorry, buddy. 174.76 to 115.3 beatdown. That's how it's done. That's how it's done.
Yep. No, Kep, I got to give you all the credit. You had a great week. Great lineup, so... I have nothing bad to say, so well done. I drew your brother this week, and we had a very close matchup throughout the games. It was going back and forth. We had a big Thursday night because I had Tom Brady. He had Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. And this is the guy I didn't want to talk about the entire episode. It was Rob Gronkowski. So we had a big Thursday night, and then the games got close over Sunday. I unfortunately fell to Kemper's brother in the second highest scoring game of the week. I fell by a margin of 152 to 163. Balled out, outperformed basically every prediction that they had for him on my team. I can't be mad at my team. They hit every prediction they had. They came out, they scored well, but wasn't my week. Just ran into the wrong team on the wrong week.
It hurts that he's got Dak and CD. For me, that would hurt the most to know that he only really got them because of me. You should be mad at me more than him. I think he got them because of me, because of this podcast. And they balled out, like we said. We knew he'd get Gronk. He always does. But Dak and CD, yikes. So I got a shot at my boy Cheese this week, which is appropriate on this podcast. Ethan's going after one of my ATL pals, Ricky. Good luck in that one. I want to give a shout out to my mom as well. Got my mom into fantasy. That was a big goal this year. Sonia got her in, and she pulled a W this week, smashing Ernest in a Yahoo Public League. She's got
that, Ernest, whoever you are.
Take that, Ernest. I hope he's probably some 11-year-old child that she's just demolishing, crushing his spirit.
And now he's crying.
Listen to this perfect draft that she had. She followed her podcast to a T. She ends up with Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and AJ Brown, Zeke, Josh Jacobs, Tyler Higbee, Cooper Kupp. That's a starting lineup. I mean, that is pretty much exactly the way we would have shaped someone's draft and followed through with it.
I'm trying to figure out how she did that. Wow.
Go Zeke at the one, DK and AJ on the way back around.
DK at the two, three, Wow, well done.
Jacobs.
Well played.
Jacobs, Kupp, Wilson, and Higbee. That's how you do it. Told you how to do it. She did it. Boom. Crushed Ernest. Poor Ernest. Never saw it coming. We were an ace up the sleeve. All right, that's going to do it for today. It's been really fun, Brick. Appreciate you not stabbing me with the trident.
Anytime, champ. I miss your musk, your scent. We should move in together.
We should get an apartment when this thing's all over. Whammy. All right, that'll do it for today. We'll see you next time. Folding the cheese.
As always, keep folding.